I want to talk about Holy Scripture and the preaching of the Word, part two today. We talked about Scripture, or the Bible, if you want to call it. And today I want to talk about the preaching of the Word. What is the preaching of the Word? Preaching of the Word, I would summarize, delivering the heart of God to the heart of His people. Let me repeat that, okay? Preaching is delivering the heart of God to the heart of His people. The aim and the target is your heart, and it comes from the heart of the Father, heart of God. Isn't that what Christianity is? Okay. And preaching is how He speaks His heart to your heart. Okay. So I want to talk about that, and we talked about Holy Scripture last week, or the Bible last week, and how Bible is the word that God has spoken, okay? And in His spoken word, He lives. In other words, when you open the Scripture, He speaks to you. He breathes unto you. He lives in His spoken word, okay? Not only that, constantly He's speaking His word, meaning He speaks today. Bible speaks today, right? He speaks today and powerfully carry out His word. There's a word that Jesus said, the heaven and earth will fade away, but my word will remain. Okay? I think Jesus places a such high view of the Scripture. Okay? And everything may pass away, but the word of God will remain. And we began to talk about what does it mean to love God, right? And how do we gauge that? Can it be unrelated or related to the love of the Word? What do you think? There's no correlation whatsoever, okay? Loving God is one thing and loving Scripture is a different thing. I don't think anybody could state that, right? I think primarily, I'm convinced after 20 years of ministry, it has to do with your love for the Lord. It's love for the Word. I think that's how it is. How else would you gauge it? There are other ways to do it, obviously, giving, serving, all of that, but I think it is primarily through the loving the Word of God, okay? So, last week I shared this verse. I'm going to share one more time because it speaks about the posture of you and I listening to the Word of God, the posture of your heart, okay? It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which is what we're doing, right? Which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Does that make sense? Okay, I don't think it's very difficult to understand. When you receive the word of God, whether it is through the opening the Scripture, there's something special about Sunday worship service. We talked about this. A little bit different than YouTube sermons, okay? Not the sermon itself, but there's something about when the church gathers together. Jesus said, when two or more gather together in my name, I'll be there, okay? Something about His church, Sunday worship gathering. But here we talk about when you receive the word of God, the posture or attitude of your heart, listening to man's word or listening to God's word, according to Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, listening to the word of God. God is speaking to you. And God is walking in this aisle and ministering unto you. Isn't that something? Isn't that something that Scripture teaches about the posture of our heart as we listen to the word of God? And I share this, and I just mentioned it. Bible is spoken word, and He lives in His spoken words. God actually lives in His spoken words. Okay? And He is speaking His word right now, today, every day. God speaks today. And I want to ask you, has He been speaking to you throughout the week? And that's the question we need to ask if we want to be accountable to one another. Are you walking with the Lord? Are you living in sin? Right? Or else, what does it mean to be accountable? Accountable meaning what? Right? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Whatever you're doing, whether it is work, whether you're dating, whatever you're doing, is it in line with following Christ at all cost gospel? Okay, that kind of questions. We want to make that culture. We want to be able to ask this kind of questions. And hopefully, 5 years years from now, 10 years from now, wherever you may be in San Antonio, or I don't know why I say San Antonio, but or Florida, or Texas, or India, or wherever you may be, where there is a strong church, weak church, you may be walking with the Lord. You know, it's amazing because one of the things that Pastor Ruth talks about, who is in Uganda, she's been there for 5 years, and she worked with me for about 20 years. One thing that she misses in Africa is a church and worship services, right? Because she doesn't have one. Yeah, it's very difficult to be a missionary without a strong church there, right? I'm not saying you have a strong church here, but you have a church here. Okay? And we struggle to follow him. You know what I mean? So I just pray that these things will speak to you. And he is speaking today, and he will carry out his work. So, okay. Why is the word of God so important? Because it gives you wisdom that leads to salvation. There is a correlation between the scripture and salvation. You may be thinking, no, there isn't. Yes, there is, scripture says. Okay? Yes, there is. Your love for the word and your understanding the word, it makes a difference and has a correlation with the word of God. Okay? So let me start talk about preaching. You know, Bible is written by 40 plus authors. Now, listen to this for those of you who never heard of this. Moses, Paul, Isaiah, Solomon, Peter, John, okay? 40 different authors of 66 books in the span of 50 generations, okay? Your great 50 times fathers, 50 generation, over three different continents in the span of 1,500 years, it was written and made one book. Now tell me that's not a miracle. And it has only one theme. Did you know that? Okay, 40 different authors, span of 1,500 years, 50 generations, and three different continents. And there's only one theme, and that one theme is it's salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Contrary to what people teach and people want to hear these days, right? It's about your thinking, okay? It's about who you think you are, positive thinking. You know, 7 million people in America listen to that kind of stuff every week. They want to hear that kind of stuff because that feeds their ego and their self, right? Yourself is not a sinner. You need to bless yourself kind of message of Christianity. It's very scary kind of message, okay, if you follow what I'm sharing, okay? And how is it possible that when there is 40 authors and 50 generations, 1,500 years to complete this book, and God completed it, okay? And how could it have just one theme and they just work together, okay? How is it possible? You know how it is possible? It is possible because God has spoken. How else would you describe it? How else would you explain it, okay? Today's passage is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, which is the last chapter of 2 Timothy, and I'm finally finishing up Timothy series after 6 months, and next week I'm going to talk about the final message about this whole thing, okay? And this is the second to the last, and then for those of you who do not know, we are in a Lent season, remembering the cross of Christ, and we are just 30 days away from, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I want to deliver three messages about the cross. Suffering of the cross and the power of the cross and the glory of the cross. I've been thinking about these messages. Okay, and then we will start Easter Sunday. Okay, here is today's text. In the presence of God, listen to this. This is where preaching is. Okay? Right before that, we talked about all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then the next verse, okay? Scripture and then preaching. In the presence of God and even Christ Jesus. Now, presence of God and even Christ Jesus is the audience of the preaching. How many of you do believe there is God in this place? You don't have to say amen, okay? And even with Christ Jesus, that's the audience. He's here, and he's speaking to us. How does he do that? Through the preaching of the word, right? That's the audience. That's the background. And Paul goes even further, okay? Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. Did you know that? In case you didn't know, you should listen to this. Jesus will be judging the living and the dead. There are three different types of judgment the Bible speaks about. Oh, please don't shrink when I talk about judgment, right? Listen, three different types. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 speaks about Bema judgment of Christians, believers, who follow Christ, living the life, okay? There is a Bema judgment. Second judgment is the sheep and the goats judgment. You know that from Matthew chapter 25. God returns, Jesus returns, all nations will be gathered, and he will be doing the separation. The goats to the left, to the left, to the left, right? And sheep to the right, right? He separates. He knows goats, all the goats to the left. Left is the bad side, right? And the right, the sheep. That's the sheep and the goat judgment. And third judgment in Revelation chapter 20 speaks about white throne judgment where everything will be exposed. Everything will be exposed before the throne of God and will be judged. Bible speaks about three judgments. Okay? And he is the judge. Jesus is the judge. He's the Savior and he's the judge. If he is your Savior, in the judgment, you will have no problem because he is the judge, right? So the background or the audience of the preaching is in the presence of God and Christ Jesus who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing, there it is, in view of Jesus appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. I give you this solemn charge. Preach the word, okay? Be prepared in season and out of season. And would you look at this, please? Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, here's my question to you, okay? I think this applies to preaching on Sundays from the pulpit as well as small group Bible studies and Sunday school ministry as well. Okay, we are delivering, proclaiming, preaching the word of God to our children, to our youth group students, and to the congregation. And the audience is God and Jesus, who will be judging and judging the living and the dead. Bema judgment, sheep and the goat judgment, or white throne judgment. It's all Jesus, right? If he is watching me, watching this worship service, and he placed me here to deliver his word is from his heart, should I be try to please you or try to please him? Now you answer that question. Right? If it is Sunday school, should it be any different? I don't think so, right? I don't think so, okay? And if you look at the preaching of the Old Testament through the prophets, prophets represented God, right, speaking to his people. Most of the preaching was what? Rebuking, correcting. Return to me, you evildoers. Humble yourself and return to me. Don't go after all these, you know, harlots, prostitutes. If you read the prophets, it's like that. But so much of our preaching could be so afraid of you that you may dislike me, right? And rebuking and correcting, I don't know whether you like it, but from my past 20 years of experience, people don't like it, okay? Did you know that when rebuke, correct, and the word of God spoken to your heart, There are only two responses you could give. Okay, someone said, when Paul preached in the New Testament, there are two responses when Paul preached. One, riot rise. Two, people humble themselves and revival happened. It's either riot, meaning they try to kill Paul, okay? Or they humble themselves, there was a revival. And that's the only two responses you could do when the word of God is spoken to your heart. Okay? You'll try to kill me, or you'll try to humble yourself before the Lord and repent. Okay? That's just the way it is. Okay? So correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience. Great patience, not just patience. Patience is difficult, you know that? You know, try to raise children as parents. Isn't patience with your children difficult? Okay? They wake up 2-3 times in the middle of the night, raising them like that. It's difficult to be a parent, right? To be patient. But if you want to deliver the word of God, preaching the word of God, it takes great patience, and careful instruction. Okay? What is the dynamic of preaching in big picture? And here's a very specific question for you. Is preaching for God, my audience, or is it for you? Okay? And I want to always wanted to ask this kind of question. Is preaching for God, or is it for you? Okay? And to that, I want to read what Chris read today. Very famous passage. Look at here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? Are you saved? I asked this question before, last week. Maybe I should ask every single Sunday for the rest of my life. Are you saved? Are you saved? Only way to be saved is to call on the name of the Lord. He who calls on the name of the Lord. Right? And then it says, how then can they call on the name of the Lord who do not believe? If have not believed, and how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? What is he doing? What is Paul doing? Paul is explaining salvation, going backward, and how it works to salvation. How are you going to be saved? Okay, that's what he's doing. Okay. Unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who brings good news. Consequently, faith comes from hearing. Do you know that? Faith here comes from hearing. Right? Faith comes from hearing of your heart. Right? And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Here's how it works. Okay? The kingdom dynamic, where preaching stands. In order for us to be saved, we need to call on the name of the Lord. Lord, I need you. I need you. Lord, I need you like no, none other. Okay? In order for you to do that, you need to believe. In order for you to believe, you need to hear. In order for you to hear, someone needs to speak to you and preach to you. For someone to preach to you, someone has to send them there. In other words, unless God send his people to preach to you, which is grace, right? You will have no chance to hear. And unless you hear, you have no chance to believe. Unless you have no chance to believe, you have no chance to cry out to the Lord for save me. And there is no salvation. That's the place of preaching. Sunday school, very, very important, I think. I hear really good things about Sunday school. I do. Sunday school teachers, I want you to encourage you. they're sitting here. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord for Sunday school teachers? Seriously. This week, I met a couple from KM and the children in Sunday school. They come home and read the scripture for an hour before they go to bed. And the parents were saying, you know, I cannot skip because they do it. And they always ask me questions, right? So I need to be able to answer them. Reading Book of Job, and I need to explain the Book of Job. That's a difficult book unless you know what you're reading, right? So it helps them to read the book, read the Word of God as well. Okay? So there's a special place of preaching, special place of preaching in Sunday school ministry, whether it is small group ministry or it is from the pulpit, okay? I am not excluding, I'm limiting preaching to Sunday pulpit. It's much broader than that, I think. Although there's a special place for Sunday preaching ministry, okay? So that's how it works. And let me give you an example, okay? It's a very interesting example. If you could just follow with me for a few minutes, this is so fascinating. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is doing his second missionary journey, okay? And this is what was happening. Paul and Silas, his companions, Silas and Luke, okay? Paul, Silas, and Luke traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Okay, we'll look at that. Where is that? It's in Turkey. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching. Can you believe what you are looking at? Spirit of God stopping Paul and Silas from preaching. If preaching is grace, stopping preaching is opposite of that, right? And from the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter the Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Okay. Oh, where's the map? Oh, here it is. Okay. Now, for those of you who are not good with geography, that's probably most of you, right? And this is Turkey, okay, Asia Minor. And this is Greece, Macedonia, where Spartans were, right? Movie 300 was made right here. Macedonia, which is Europe. And this is what? Africa. Egypt, Jerusalem, Syria. And then there is Turkey. And this is Greece. And this is Africa, okay? Now, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas and Luke were hanging out here doing ministry. And they try to do ministry in Phrygia and Galatia, right here, in the middle of Turkey. And they try to go Bithynia, which is east, northeast, but Spirit's stopping them, right? And so they end up going to Mysia, right here, right? These are all actual places. So they went down to Troas, right here. So when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, which is the east, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit will not allow them to preach in Asia and stop them from going east. So they passed by Mysia, which is to the west, and went down to Troas. And guess what happened there? During the night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia, which is Europe, right? Greece, northern Greece, standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Okay? After Paul had seen the vision, Paul, Silas, and Luke, got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, which is Europe, which is the place where gospel has never been to, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, we're talking about the preaching of the gospel. Now, let me look at the map real quick. So they were doing ministry here. Started from Jerusalem, Syria, Asia Minor, which is Turkey. And finally, they were trying to cover here more, Bithynia and rest of the Asia Minor, but Spirit leading them to Europe, to Macedonia. That's what's happening in Acts chapter 16. Okay, so from there, they traveled to a city called Philippi, Philippian church, which is a Roman colony and the biggest city of that district of Macedonia. This is like New York City, okay? New York City, biggest city. And they stay there for several days. And this is what happened, okay? This is what I want you to look at. On the Sabbath, we went outside of the city. Who's we? Paul, Silas, and Luke. We went to the suburb of Philippi. Sort of like Manhasset, maybe, right? Biggest city, outside of the city, and outside of the city gate, to the river, where we expect to find a place of prayer. They were looking for a place of prayer to do ministry. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Okay, people gathered at Manhasset, right? And look at verse 14. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. Okay? a dealer in a purple cloth. She was a businesswoman, okay, on a business trip. Can you believe that? That's what it means. She was from Asia Minor, Thyatira, which is from Turkey, and she came to Greece, and Paul and Silas came to Greece because spirits stopped them, and they met in Manhasset, okay? That's what it means. In dealer of purple cloth, and she was worshiper of God. And here's the statement I want you to look at. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. Some of you are responding like, this is big, this is grandeur, right? Gospel going forth from Asia, all the way from Jerusalem to Asia, all the way to Europe. Holy Spirit stopping Paul and Silas going to the east, make them go to west so that they could meet one person. One person. Lydia. And how'd she get there? She was on a business trip. I think that's what it was. She's from Thyatira. You know where Thyatira is? This is Thyatira right here. Where is it? Right here. There it is. Underneath Pergamon and above Sardis, these are all the churches from Book of Revelation, seven churches, right here, right? She came all the way from Thyatira to Philippi, and Paul and Silas came to Philippi, okay? So that they could meet, so that she could hear the preaching of the word by Paul, so that God could open her eyes, so that her family may be saved. I love this story. I think it's in the scripture, right in the middle of the book of Acts, for a reason. Okay? God, Holy Spirit, obviously orchestrating everything. Don't you see it? You see it, right? Don't you see it? Clearly we see it. Even Paul and Silas. Who sent Paul and Silas to Philippi? It's Holy Spirit. It's God, isn't it? Who sent Lydia to Philippi? It's Holy Spirit. It's God, isn't it? Who opened the eyes of Lydia? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's God, isn't it? And if you read the entire chapter, there are three stories like this, okay? Paul comes to the city of Philippi, so Lydia is saved and her family is saved. And then the woman, a girl who was demon-possessed, and her family is saved. You know the story. If you don't, go read, okay? And there is a third family. So Paul and Silas were thrown into the prison because of, you know, delivering this little girl. And basically they were beaten and they were just exhausted, singing praises to God, and God opens the prison like miraculously, and they were freed from prison, and the jailer tried to commit himself, but Paul says, don't kill yourself, because we are still here, right? And then the jailer asks, what must I do to be saved? Remember that question? What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe in the Lord, you will be saved, and you and your household. Right? That story, three stories. One is I call miraculous encounter. Paul and Lydia's encounter. Was it coincident? Absolutely not. When I call it miraculous deliverance or healing, the demon-possessed woman, a girl. And one is miraculous salvation, the jailer and the families. And guess what? This became the Philippian church. Church at Philippi. Okay. Miraculous salvation, miraculous encounter, miraculous deliverance through the means of preaching of the word. Okay, through the means of preaching of the word. It's God's means of saving his people and the families and building his church. That's the place of preaching. Okay. We come back to preach the word, be prepared in season, 2 Timothy, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, and he explains why. In the latter times, in the latter days, which is today's, the day that we are living, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear the word of God, which speaks to their heart. You know what they want to hear? Here it is, what they want to hear. Instead, to suit their own desires. What does that mean? We love ourselves and we want to be fed to love ourselves. How do you do that? Positive thinking? Is that gospel or is it feeding yourself? Positive thinking. Right? They will gather around a great number, like 7 million, every single Sunday. Right? Of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. Don't you love that expression? Okay? Instead of hearing the sound word of God, the gospel, sin, repent, and God, Christ saves, you want to hear, you are God. Right? Isn't that what it says? Right? And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. And I want to just explain something, okay? What does that mean that we want to hear what suits our own heart and our desires? Here's how it works, okay? I thought about a message that feeds your ego, okay? Your ego. You're not really a sinner. You're a victim. Is that biblical? Absolutely not. So because you are just a victim, all you need is healing, psychologized gospel. Okay? Instead of repentance, sinner needs to repent. They need to repent. I'm grown up in a broken home. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was a jerk. That's why I'm the way I am. In other words, everything is, I'm a victim. No, you're not. That may be true, but you're deeply sinner. Okay? So your ego is fed. So sin in your life, instead of confronted, it is approved indirectly. Right? So instead of your heart cleansed and repented and renewed, you bypass that and you're saved kind of message. That's what people want to hear. Which is, you know, turning from the truth into myth. So it's easy believism. Okay? Easy. Okay? Following Christ is easy. Giving your life one Sunday and that's it. Once you're saved, everything's good after that. Easy believism. And all kinds of variation of selfism, selfishism. And I want to just kind of carefully but boldly state positive thinking. What does that mean? You know, recently Joel Austin, the pastor of Lakewood Church, Houston, Texas, the largest church in America. Okay, I know I'm speaking from the pulpit, but you gotta be able to discern. 7 million people in America listen to him every week, over 100 countries. Okay? And recently he wrote a book titled The Power of I Am. Isn't I am who I am of God of the scripture? But that's not the I am he's referring to. He's referring to I am, the power of I am. Basically, this is what the book is about, according to him. This book will assist people to stop, what is this word? Oh, stop thinking any negative thoughts concerning themselves. You stop thinking negative thoughts about yourself, you'll never repent. Isn't that the case? Unless Spirit opens your eyes and see your depth of your sickness, you will not look to Christ. And this book will help you think any negative thought about yourself. Man, I'm frustrated. 7 million people listen to it, you know? Great number of people around them and teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Okay? I only share this because my brothers and sisters, one day I'll stand before the judgment seat of God, Bema judgment. And the audience has been God and even Jesus Christ, who will be judging the living and the dead. Maybe we'll have no congregation members left here, but at least I'll be set with him. Right? New Testament preacher has to be surgical. Oswald Chambers. I love this statement. Surgical. I used to do a lot of small surgeries in my dental office. So it's in my blood, right? A New Testament preacher has to be surgical. And listen to this. A preacher must be both a soldier and a shepherd. Okay, I love this statement. Sounds so crude. He must nourish. He must defend. He must teach. Quality of shepherd, right? And then soldier. And this is how this soldier fights. He must have teeth in his mouth and be able to bite and to fight. It sounds like a dog to me, right? But who said stupid thing like this? Martin Luther. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. 16th century, 21st century, the fight is the same. It's the same fight. It's basically the same fight. Okay? And I love this. What's the sound doctrine instead of what people want to hear in their itching ears? Someone by name John Ryland, 18th century Baptist preacher, just summarize it this way. Three R's. No sermon is any value which has not three R's in it. Ruined by the fall. Sin. Sin. Unless you see sin, you will never repent. Unless you repent, you will never look to Christ, right? And second R is redemption by Christ, which is the cross, right? And third R is regeneration by the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, okay? Sin, cross, Spirit's work. Unless those three goes into any message, it has no value. I think that's a pretty good summary, okay? Okay, I'm gonna skip, okay? I'm gonna skip this one. I'm just gonna read it, okay? I'm not gonna explain. Even if our gospel is veiled, blinded, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If gospel veiled, I'm explaining, you're perishing, right? God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that display the glory of Christ. Who is the image of God? But what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and through which God, who created the world by let light shine on darkness, has made that light shine in your heart. Okay, in your heart. I'm going to skip. Okay, last passage. Okay, will preaching work? Will it work? Seems like it's not working. People do not change easy. People follow what they, you know, their heart, the love of the world. Will it work? Will it ever work? Isaiah 55 is the chapter where God speaks to his people to repent, basically. Come back to me. Come back to me. My thoughts are greater than yours. Okay? And I love you. God speaking to Israelites. And listen to this. This is God speaking to his people. God speaking to you and I. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making the bud and flourish. Okay? Rain and snow, they come down and they don't go back. Right? It waters the ground and it brings the bud. Right? Sprouts. So that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Okay? You see the illustration? And then God says, so is my word. Like the rain, like the snow, it come down. And it goes out from my mouth, and it will not return to me, and it will not return to me empty. But will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I love it. It just gives me so much comfort. So much confidence. Just like the rain and the snow come down, and the rain and the snow does not, it does not go back. It waters the ground, and it brings life, right? And word of God goes forth, it never returns to me empty. Never. Meaning, it is working in your heart. Or at least some of your heart. Maybe one heart. Maybe one Lydia's heart. Before I came today to church, I was praying for Lydia in our church. And we have one. Not that one. Yeah. I mean, that Lydia is good too. I really pray that there is a Lydia in this place. God opening your heart. And you know what the promise is? He will. What he purposes, he will accomplish. And the last statement is, who sent it? I sent it. God says, I sent it. I sent it. I want to close with one question, and I ask you to listen. And the question is, may I be the Lydia of this congregation today? May I be the Lydia of this congregation today? Lord comes, his word comes, opens my heart, opens the scripture to me, and opens my eyes. May I be the Lydia of this congregation? Let's pray.